people do all sorts of things in the name of religion. Some of the things which they may do would involve a pilgrimage of one sort or another, or an activity which would be seen as a penance or sin in their lives. They do these things either because of the stipulations of the religion they espouse, or perhaps because of some self-inflicted need for doing them, out of a sense of guilt, for example, or because of some misguided devotion. I've heard of some places where during certain liturgical times of the year, people have themselves crucified, though not to the extent that they die from the experience. There are those who perhaps crawl over a considerable distance to reach a particular shrine or place of devotion. There are those who actually whip themselves to the point that blood is drawn. There are those who take an expensive trip or a pilgrimage to some particular shrine or event. Let me tell you about a man whom I see from time to time. When I see this man, he is actually carrying a wooden cross. I see this man out on Highway 90 on the west side of San Antonio as we make trips out to that part of the world to check on my mother and to spend some time in recreation and relaxation at a little place we enjoy on the Nueces River. He apparently walks between two or three of the little towns out that way, probably, I'm guessing, a distance of about 30 miles or so. And we see him in daylight hours making that little trip back and forth. I have never stopped to talk to the man. I see him out of the corner of my eye often, or notice him and just in a passing glance as we're driving on with purpose. So I don't know about this man's motives at all. But I do want to say this morning as I begin. I do not have any doubt whatsoever of this man's sincerity, and I am not in any way suggesting a question about his sincerity. But these are some things that I have noticed about him. He is always appropriately dressed for the season. That is to say that if it is summer, he is wearing light clothing and not burdened with heavy coats. But in the winter when I see him, he has got a very heavy, nice jacket and wearing a cap on his head. He always seems to have good walking shoes. He is carrying a cross, but it's not a terribly large cross. Still, it is large enough that the long beam does drag over his shoulder on the ground. But now here's something about that long beam. There is a wheel on the end of it. So he is not having to drag it with resistance from the dragging. There's a wheel. And not too long ago, I saw the man stop, and he was talking on his cell phone. I, again, have no question to ask about the man's sincerity. He is carrying a cross, but he is doing everything possible to make it an easy cross. In my Bible, I've already turned to the 8th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And that verse 23, I read this. He said to them all, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." undeniably, you and I, as disciples of Christ, are called to bearing crosses. But the question I have is this: is the cross to which the Lord refers a wooden cross which we carry upon our shoulder? Is this man, whom I see from time to time, doing exactly what the Lord said to do in this passage? Or is it possible that the cross to which the Lord refers is something different from a literal wooden cross? As you look at the text which I have read, you'll notice this: there definitely is cross-bearing as a condition of discipleship. The Lord is talking about following Him. He is talking about discipleship. And so He refers to the bearing of a cross. But look carefully at the text, and you will notice this: let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. The emphasis here is on self-denial as a condition of discipleship. So I gather from that the cross to which the Lord is referring here is not that literal wooden cross, nor is it a physical malady or an economic distress which might be common to humanity. Rather, it is that personal event, that personal cross-bearing which occurs as the result of one's being a Christian. It's not having the measles, for example. It's not going bankrupt, for example. Unless those things that occur are because I am a disciple of Christ. To the contrary, those are the kinds of things that occur in many people's lives. And yet, I often hear folks talk about, well, he's got this kind of cross to bear or that kind of cross to bear. And the thing to which people are referring has not a thing in the world to do with that person being a disciple of Christ. If you turn in your Bibles to the passage which was read as our scripture reading for this morning, in 1 Peter chapter 4, I want you to look carefully at what was read, beginning at verse 14. If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. Notice in this verse, if you're reproached for the name of Christ, if you're reproached because you are a disciple of the Lord, well, let's go on and read. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's affairs or matters. Yet, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. This is the kind of thing to which the Lord is referring in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, verse 23. The kinds of things which may occur in your life, not the ordinary things, but the things that may occur because you have made a choice to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. That is the cross to which the Lord is referring. But look further at verse 23 and verse 24. If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save him. In verse 23, you notice the word daily. Our following Christ cannot be something that is spasmodic or sporadic. Now, folks, listen to that. We cannot be on again, off again, in the manner of our following Christ, in the manner of our service to the Lord. That does not qualify as true discipleship. Let him take up his cross daily and follow me. And then in verse 24, he refers to losing one's life. We must, my friends, lose our own lives in his life, in service to him. And the question I have is, are we really willing to die to ourselves completely? You know, a little bit later on in my thoughts, I put this thought for my own benefit. When a person loses his life, how dead is he? You ever thought about that? When a person loses his life, how dead is he? Well, he's dead. Dead all over. Not a little bit dead. I was thinking this morning, please forgive me for this. I was thinking this morning of this delightful movie called Princess Bride. And the hero, who goes through an awful kind of torture, which draws the life out of him. But he was just not completely dead. He was a little bit dead. But through the machinations of the movie and the industry, he is restored to life and takes on the villain and saves the princess. But, you know, that's kind of the way we want to be. I want to be a little bit dead to myself, but I want to be a little bit alive to myself. I don't want to lose everything for the Lord. You've got to lose it all, folks. You've got to lose it all. We might ask ourselves, well, okay, what might be the form of the cross that we're called to bear? I'd suggest a few things, and none of these are exclusive to a list that might be given, but, you know, a person might lose a relationship because he chooses to be a child of God. I knew a man a number of years ago who was studying the Bible and decided that he wanted to obey the gospel, and his wife said, if you do that, I'm going to leave you. Well, that's harsh stuff, folks. But you see, he had to make a choice between being a disciple of Christ and continuing to please his wife, who had threatened to leave him if he obeyed the gospel. Well, he obeyed the gospel, and she left him. He lost a relationship. You may lose a friend. Possibly you might lose a job because of your making the choice to be a child of God. Not many years ago, I read of a man, I believe it was in Oklahoma, who owned a bar, a very successful business. But through some event, he began to study the Bible with someone, I assume, and he obeyed the gospel. Well, now I'm a Christian and a bar owner. And what did he do? He sold his bar, got rid of it. His livelihood's gone. Well, you know, these are the kinds of things that may happen. This is the kind of cross-bearing. You may have to endure the barbs, the verbal barbs of other people who want to call you a do-gooder, you know, something like that. You may, in some countries, actually experience physical pain because of your choice to be a child of God. And it's possible that the nature of the cross you have to bear will change from time to time. When we come back to this verse that says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it, And whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. But Lord, isn't it possible for me to have an easy cross? Now, I really do. I want to be a Christian. I want to be a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe that He's the Savior, and I want to be saved ultimately. And I believe that what He teaches is beneficial for my life. And I most assuredly don't want to be cast as one who is opposed to the Lord, as some are. But can't I have an easy one, Lord? You know, Lord, it isn't always convenient to be your disciple. There are times when I'm very uncomfortable when my friends ask me to go along with them in some activity that is questionable, and I want to go, and I do go, but I'm uncomfortable, and they're uncomfortable. And wouldn't it be better, Lord, if I didn't have to be uncomfortable? Give me an easy cross. Lord, I don't mind making a little sacrifice from time to time. But don't you think, Lord, it would be okay for me to pick the sacrifices I want to make? You know, I grew up in a little town out west of here called Weimar, and a lot of my dear friends were members of the Roman Catholic Church. Sweet people, they were good friends, but we came to that season of the year that's called Lent. And during the Lenten season, a person is supposed to give up something. And I had a friend who, by the way, lives in Katy now. He also had the only motor scooter in the city. And I got to ride on that motor scooter a time or two, and never will forget the day he rode under a truck with it. But I wasn't on the motor scooter with him. But he said to me one time, "Well, it's Lent." And I said, "Yeah, Bonnie, what are you going to give up?" And he said, "I'm going to give up throwing rocks at alligators." And I thought, you know, well, and that's amusing to us. But I'll tell you what, folks, as silly as that may sound, aren't there some of us who say, "I want to pick and choose the sacrifices I have to make"? What I really want is a wheel on the bottom of the cross that I bear. That's what I really want, Lord. Well, let me call your attention to several passages of Scripture. I turn in my Bible to the second chapter of the book of Galatians at verse 20. I want you to listen. This is familiar to many of us. "I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ." And then in the sixth chapter of the book of Galatians at verse 14, continuing somewhat the same idea, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." And my question is, precious friends, have we been crucified with Christ, really? And then in the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, at verses 11 and 12, after discussing the role and the place of the gospel facts and the emulation of those facts as a person is baptized into Christ, verses 11 and 12, "Likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof." My question is, do you think of yourself day by day, daily, as the passage says over there in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, do you think of yourself as being dead to to see it? Or are you just a little bit alive to see it? And then returning to this chapter from which we read a while ago in Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, beginning there to read at verse 57. It came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto the Lord, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, Follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, Let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. Another said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at home in my house. And Jesus said unto him, No man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. I've read these verses in order to be able to say, as you observe, that what each of these people wanted was a wheel on the bottom of his cross. I'm quite willing to follow you, but I have some conditions that are going to make my following you a little bit easier, Lord. But discipleship is just what it is. It is the losing of one's life in the Master's life, in the Master's service. And as I asked a while ago, I'll ask again, when a person loses his life, how dead is he? And is it possible that what we really want, you and I, it is to be a little bit dead and a little bit alive as we follow the Lord when it is convenient to do so. If you're looking for an easy and convenient way of life, don't follow Jesus. If you're looking for a cross with a wheel on the bottom of it, the Lord makes no such provision for us. There's just not a wheel there. We have a choice to make. A very clear choice. A choice to follow Jesus wherever He leads us and into whatever He leads us. Whether there is sacrifice there or not, I do not know. But we have the choice to do that, or a choice to play like Christians and ask for a wheel on the bottom of the cross. Perhaps you're in the assembly this morning, and you need to be buried with Christ in baptism. The beginning of your discipleship is a decision and an action of obedience. If you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and I'm convinced that you do or you would not be here, if you're willing to be penitent, repentant for the sins in your life, for you're not having followed the Lord previously, you're willing to confess His name, be baptized into Him, then make that decision, because you've got to do something with Jesus, just as Pilate had to do something with Jesus. Pilate tried to wash his hands on Him, but folks, you just can't do it. You've got to make a decision. And if you say, well, I'm not going to decide today, you've already made your decision. The decision not to follow Him. And to children of God who are here, could I say that if you have been carrying a cross, but it's been one that's had a wheel on the bottom of it. The cross of convenience. The cross you can lay down when you choose to and pick up when you choose to. That's not the way of discipleship. And if you've been doing that, surely you need to ask God's forgiveness for that kind of behavior. If you need the prayers of brothers and sisters, we'd be glad to pray with you. If we can help you this morning in any way in your life of discipleship, either in the beginning of it or the continuation of it, we invite you to come while we stand together and while we sing.